The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast, presented to you by BodySlam.net. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew, along with my tag team partner, Jeff Martin. I am the trendsetter, Brian Brega. Thanking you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. Make sure you follow us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, at High Spot Podcast. Make sure you follow all our shenanigans, as only the Jersey Wrecking Crew can bring you, on our website, highspotpodcast.com. Make sure you also listen to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating. Leave a review. Come on, guys. Be decent for us, because we're doing this for you guys. We love you. Please leave a review. And also, where all podcasts are available. Also, make sure you check us out on our YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast, where we do all our interviews and our videos for our times at the conventions, our times at WrestleCon, our times for, you know, us going to events, for covering it for you guys, whether it be Ring of Honor, Impact, the WWE, AEW. We do it all for you. Make sure you catch my mini-series, Adventures with the Trendsetter, where I cover the world of entertainment, especially adult film entertainment. But Jeff, so much to talk about in this episode. I'm so excited for the mere fact that we're going to be talking about AEW. Full Gear was in Baltimore, Maryland, and it left a lot of things to talk about, a lot of stuff to remember by, and just gave you that old-school feeling that, man, this is something really big as they're slowly building their name in the world of professional wrestling as they start becoming that alternative we've been looking for. But first and foremost, Jeff, before we talk about that, and also WrestleMania tickets will be on sale very soon this Friday, guys. Actually, they're on sale now, so go to W.com for your tickets, and you can also get your travel packages as well. So by means, I'll do that. But before you do that, listen to this episode, Jeff. I'm so excited. How have you been, man? A crazy week so far and so much to talk about, but how have you been? How did you enjoy AEW Full Gear?
Well, Trendsetter, I'm doing good, man. Your energy, again, you're always bringing it to the show. Again, I just want to give you props for last week. That was a tremendous solo act there, introducing future legend to the show, and a great interview, too. So, AEW, man, we didn't get a chance to preview it, but we're going to recap it here just a little bit for you guys. I know it's in the books and a lot of people have their opinions on it, especially on the Moxley and Omega match, so we'll get to that. You're right, tickets do go on sale for WrestleMania today, so man, already WrestleMania season before you know it, so it just gets, you know, it happens so fast now, man.
I talked about this last week, and you're missing in action though, but I kind of mentioned it that how for me, WrestleMania season really starts around the Survivor Series, and now WWE is promoting Survivor Series. It's going to be Raw, SmackDown versus NXT, all three of them against each other. When does WrestleMania season start for you? Is it Royal Rumble around this time during Survivor Series?
Yeah, no, I'm still going to say Royal Rumble.
Okay. To me, this is the beginning, the tail end of like the fall season.
Yeah, you start feeling that change in the air. Yeah, I mean, you have so much in November still. I like Survivor Series standing on its own. Then you're going to get the NXT TakeOver shows.
I've noticed you've been watching on YouTube the old Survivor Series ones where they were held on Thanksgiving, where the teams were pitted against each other.
Imagine today them complaining about wrestling on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And these guys did it in the 80s and early 90s. It was a Thanksgiving Day tradition that they would wrestle there.
There's never talks about not doing it because it was your job to do it.
Yeah, and I love the promos. There was one with Ultimate Warrior was teaming up with, I know one of them was the Rockers, and he had tape, and he was going around them and just, you know, taping them together as a tandem. You know, the Warrior did so many crazy things, but that was funny, too. And then just seeing the promos and the names of the team, like Rowdy's Roddy, you know.
The King's Court.
The Perfect Team. You know, yes. Those kind of teams and everything like that. It's Survivor Series season, and it's in a couple weeks away. And I got to tell you, though, man, this week has been just like a hit in the face of just how winter is rapidly approaching here in the Northeast, or how it's here. It's arrived.
Yeah, it's already here.
And so, yeah, you know, you're in that mode now where, like, you know, the you know, Thanksgiving comes by, then Christmas, New Year's, and then now.
God knows you're listening to the holiday music, right?
Yeah, oh, I am, and you know the Royal Rumble is upon us, and I think that's when you start, maybe a few weeks before it, you start leading it into WrestleMania season, and of course, WWE's got to get their travel packages out, and so you're going to see tickets go on sale today for WrestleMania, so, you know, and we'll venture out there again this year.
I like how you said that we'll venture out in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah, because in New York, it was here, and we just kind of were like, all right, we'll attend it. We wanted to keep the streak alive.
It wasn't the same atmosphere, though, as you would if you went to Florida. Last time, it was in New Orleans. It wasn't the same vibe behind it.
Yeah, no, the weather wasn't, you know, when we had the takeover, it was that rainy weather, and we had the whole subway fiasco there, and we got there, you missed the first match, and you know, next
plus season, New York is such a long area, it felt like WrestleMania, it was spread out a lot of the events, so you didn't get that closeness, everything's so close by.
Wherever the hell the meet and greets were, I have no idea either.
Yeah,
Barclays is a drag to get to there, but you know, I'm funny you said that, we're talking about WrestleMania, right, and the report said that $135 million in revenue was made by the city of New York with that whole thing. Does that seem too high or a little bit too low? I thought it was a little bit low as far as the revenue that WrestleMania brought to the tri-state area.
I wouldn't know what to compare it to because, you know, to me, it's a high number, but compared to, like, I would have to compare it to other events in other areas to see, like, if there's some type of comparison.
I don't remember what...
I don't know, like, where New Orleans did.
I don't know what New Orleans
Orlando did.
It was like 165. And I'm thinking with the prices here in New York, it was going to be a little bit more. But 135, I mean, that's great, you know. And then Tampa Bay is another area that I've not gone to. I'm very looking forward to it. Busch Gardens, we got to go to there one day.
Yeah.
You know, but when you say venture, when I say venture, I was talking about maybe, like, you know, hitting up an ROH show, you know, WrestleCon, and then, like I said, last minute, maybe getting tickets like we did, but we don't want to stand in line for 3 hours, so we might be getting those tickets for Mania on Friday. So, you know, looking forward to it. But, you know, back to the question you asked me about when does it start for me, it starts towards Royal Rumble. But right now, I'm in that Survivor Series mode where, you know, it's close to the Thanksgiving season, and that's kind of either the last Sunday before Thanksgiving weekend. So,
do you think adding in NXT has added in a little bit of spice behind this? Because it was kind of stale after a while when you talk about the brand splits, right? Yeah. And they're trying to convince us that there are separate entities, although, you know, they keep going back and forth on this now, especially the Survivor Series where brands are now attacking other brands and superstars are showing up on other shows. Like, you know, we were supposed to keep them separate. Now we're kind of pitting them all against each other. Has it added a new flavor, new dynamic by adding NXT in this?
It has a little bit. You're going to get a great matchup, for one, if they keep it. AJ Styles, Roderick Strong, and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
You know, that's going to be great. It doesn't get better than that. That could steal the show.
And well, I mean, the main championships will also be on, like the NXT champion will face like the Universal champion and the WWE champion.
I think Adam Cole is going to have his NXT team, and they're going to take on already the team assembled by by Raw, and then SmackDown's going to announce their team. I'm sure they'll do it tonight. But you got, I think, Rollins, Ricochet, Randy Orton. Man, you know, they already have it listed there, the team and stuff like that. So, and Seth Rollins is the captain.
Of course.
You know, Seth. And so that's your team. And now we're going to see what NXT comes with, which we'll find out. And so, you know, to me, this is going to be fun. I mean, the NXT UK invaded Raw. So, you know, I'm looking forward to Baszler and Bayley and Becky Lynch. That's going to be a good match, too. The triple threat, but again, could you be all triple threaded out?
You could be. I mean, we've talked about before where, like, we've seen enough of that, and usually in those types of scenarios, it's because you want to fit everybody on a particular show, so you have triple threat matches, four way matches, fatal four ways, you know, six man tag team matches. But I think, you know, when we talk about the presence of the event like Survivor Series, Jeff, I think it's kind of like a free pass in a way because it is meant for that. You know, it's kind of the scenario where you have teams of six or four triple threat matches or five, and it's going to happen. So I see your point there, but I think when you look at Survivor Series, it's kind of a freebie there for it.
Yeah, it's for bragging rights. I know last year SmackDown had an awful showing. Hopefully
they're
this 0
year. For everything.
Yeah, yeah, and because the pre-show doesn't count. Remember that. Yeah. And so
it doesn't count.
No, it didn't count. It's the only match.
Being sarcastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only match that SmackDown won last year because Paige's leadership was so brilliant that they were so inspired that they ended up losing every single match. On the main show on Survivor Series. So,
but you know what? Survivor Series, it's down the road, Jeff.
Down the road.
We will talk about it. They're building up to it right now.
Listen, Trendsetter, AEW is, I regret not going because we had so many things going on. Travel was going to be an issue.
We had our reasons.
You know,
not
there's
going,
so many things going on, you know, and it sucks because it's only a couple hours away.
It's a 3-hour drive.
Yeah. And, you know, it's something that I regret not going to. And I'm going to tell you one thing, and that is that in 2019 so far, albeit there's going to be some unforsaken thing happening to Chris Jericho,
yeah,
he, to me, is the 2019 Male Wrestler of the Year. And I know a lot of people actually mentioned that, and somebody came at me saying that they would say that Will Ospreay was it, or some will say Seth Rollins. And, you know, somebody even said that Jericho's not even on their top 10, which I'll agree to disagree because that person showed me their top 10.
Yeah, people want to say Will Ospreay, people want to say Seth Rollins, but the mere fact that he's not even in the top 10 list, to me, is utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, and so here's a chance to announce that our end-of-the-year award show will be the week before Christmas, or we actually put that one up there for Christmas, so you can take that nice little break there. But our show will be one of those weeks, and we want you guys to interact. So what we're going to do is, starting next week, the polls will open, and we'll set some wrestlers there. And our first category is the 2019 Male Wrestler of the Year. I say Jericho so far is the winner. Mm-hmm. But things could change. There could be something huge happen here in the next couple weeks. But,
yeah, but I think whatever happens in the next couple weeks,
prove me wrong, Jose Triple H. I prove me wrong, Trendsetter. Can you make an argument that it's not Chris Jericho?
Paul Levesque's here.
Paul who?
Paul Levesque.
Oh, my hearing is going.
That's all right. Yeah. You're wearing headphones, so that's not a good sign. So. But I don't know, man, because I can't put an argument because I don't.
Now last
can't
year was
find
Cody.
Anybody else? Yeah, and I think Cody's done a great job now too. Cody as well. But if I'm gonna look at it from outside AEW right now, I mean, the year before that was Kenny, and then Cody had a really strong outing as well.
It was hard. We had to like flip a coin there because the resumes were amazing. But if you want to look at Jericho's resume, you know, he fought Naito and Okada. Mm-hmm. Okay, he defeated Kenny Omega. He defeated Hangman Page to become Le Champion, the first ever AEW champion.
The youngest reigning AEW champion.
And put that there, 40 at the ripe young age of 48 years old. He beat Cody.
Mm-hmm.
He formed the Inner Circle and might have had the promo of the year for 2019, introducing the Inner Circle. You tell me.
Well, I'll say the promo of the year might have been Cody the week before the build-up towards.
But I just said might have had the promo of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's between those two.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, I know Will Ospreay won the Junior Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
He's had tremendous matches. You can always say Okada, Seth Rollins, Tanahashi. And, you know, Jericho will take on Tanahashi at the Kingdom, Wrestle Kingdom, but that's next year. So, you know, I know Seth Rollins won the PWI 500. As the number one guy. But to me, Seth Rollins, so far the last month or so, has kind of taken himself out of the running.
I would agree with that. I mean, when we talk about stuff like this, Jeff, the thing that is difficult to decipher is that, you know, you have your personal idea of what values you're looking for in terms of how you rate a number one.
Everyone
so
has their own criteria.
Everyone has their own criteria. And, you know, if we're looking for match quality, then that's a whole separate thing, mm-hmm. too. But I think, honestly, if the crew's listening to this, and I would say most of them would agree, though, it would depend on who has the most impact right now currently within this year. And, yeah, Seth's had a strong outing. He was definitely building up towards WrestleMania to, you know, they were making him to be the all-end fan favorite to defeat and slay the beast. But I honestly feel it's been very lackluster, Seth Rollins, in terms of his rise to the top spot in WWE, and now he's kind of gotten the backlash of a Roman Reigns who, you know, when's the last time we spoke about Roman Reigns now? But he's kind of getting that backlash behind because the machine's behind him. But ultimately, I really can't find anybody. I think maybe by next week I'll have a better idea because I'll be able to look at the landscape a little bit more. But I would have to be in agreement. I think Jericho's had the most impact of what he's done. I mean, for the mere fact that, you know, he goes back and talks about the moment he signed with AEW and made AEW legit. And a lot of what he says, you know, a lot of people could say it's arrogant, it's pompous, but at the same time, there is truth behind it. And, you know, maybe his matches weren't five-star matches, but they were the ones you looked forward to the most because, more importantly, you were invested in those storylines more than anything and delivered in the sense that you felt satisfied and the outcome wasn't probably what you expected, or if it was, it was, but you got your money's worth out of it. So everything Jericho's been touching right now, he's on a tremendous roll of not only reinventing himself, which he's done even prior to 2019, especially early 2019, but he's on a huge roll that everything he's touching right now is gold, which is why he's La Champion. And yeah, it'd be hard to pin an argument of who's more deserving than Jericho. And that's not me just kissing Chris Jericho's ass. He's really done a lot, not only for AEW, but in terms of just recreating himself at the very young age now, 49. So it'd be hard pressed to argue against Jericho right now as superstar of the year.
Yeah. He's just been amazing, man. And let's talk about the match he had with Cody. Man, Jericho looked in tip-top shape, man. Had the tan going, the hair, you know, the new getup and stuff. Was walking with Jack Hagar.
Cody. Hit the weight belt, too. It's kind of like mocking mm-hmm. Cody.
Yeah,
era,
so yeah.
The small little things exactly. that you don't realize yep. unless you're picking them up that he's doing. For every opponent he's facing, he's kind of like mirroring them.
It's
or kind of mimicking them.
Psychological game there, too.
Exactly, psychological warfare.
And so Chris Jericho comes out, and Cody again, you know, he's got the crowd. He has the palm of his hand. That's one thing that Cody does know how to do is get that crowd support. Gee, I wonder where he gets that from, you know. I mean, that's something that passed down from the American Dream. And I'm going to say the match was, hey, is it going to be 5-star? Or like, is it going to get like, and, you know, to me, it's telling the story.
Yeah.
And it was about, at the end of the day, MJF turning heel. And what happened was that, yes, you had Jericho winning, but in the end, they made a heel star in MJF because he got the whole heat. He got ton of nuclear heat by throwing in the towel. I don't care if he didn't throw the scarf. It didn't make sense to throw the scarf. It's kind of, to me, it's stupid if you throw the scarf. It's not a towel. Mm-hmm. You know, the referee's not going to get that. You know what I mean? So whoever's saying throw in the scarf would be more significant, that's just being very, very, like, you
nitpicky.
Know, nitpicky. So he throws the towel, you know, ends the match with Cody. Cody got a huge cut. I mean, you know, that's going to leave a scar. That was a nasty
he's
gash.
He's got plenty of them.
Yeah, but that's going to, you know, his face is his moneymaker, and now he's going to, to me, that's going to leave a scar. I mean, that was just a nasty cut. So you got the blood, you got the injury, you got
plus
the...
Plus, he got a lot of scar tissue in that area anyway, so it's going to, no matter what match he's in, it's going to open up.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, then he gets... In the lion tamer, and then MJF throws a towel. Then, you know, he apologizes, gets Cody vulnerable, and then turns on him. Mm-hmm. You know, kicks him in the nether region, and then MJF has got a lot of explaining to do. And so, you know, I'm sure that
I love JR's reaction. You little bastard! Type of thing. That was awesome.
That's great.
Vintage Jim Ross right there.
And they made a star. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. You know, the only thing maybe you could question is, it was huge. This is Cody's last chance at getting the AEW championship, right? Can't challenge for it. MJF cost him that. And, you know, it's significant. But, you know, it was a lead up. It was kind of being teased. And finally it happened. So MJF got crazy heat. He's a star in the making. Mm-hmm. Tremendous on the mic, and it'll be interesting to see MJF versus Cody when that happens.
Well, just to add on to that, it's a classic story of student versus teacher. In this case, they were kind of pitted as brothers because mm-hmm. there was that closeness between the two of them and your brother betraying you. And, you know, maybe it's just me, but when I initially saw it, though, it, to me, it gave me back memories of Owen Hart. The classic match between Bret Hart and Bob Backlund, submission match. Bob Backlund having Bret Hart and Chicken Wing Jeff, and all of a sudden, Owen Hart crying his eyes out to his parents to throw in the towel, and then in the end, betrays his brother. And then the classic Survivor Series moment where, you know, he comes out to hug his brother, embrace them after they win the Survivor Series match against Jerry Lawler's Knights or whatever, the Knights of the Round Table, and basically kicks Bret Hart in the knee. And that's kind of like those two stories pitted together. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that, you know, AEW, especially Cody, is very well known in his history of wrestling, combined all those things together. And there's this classic move, too. I'm sure a lot of people don't recognize it, that, you know, he did a dive on top of the ramp and landed on his face. I don't know if that initially caused him to bust his face open, yeah, but a lot of people were going back on reflections of, like, Brian Pillman, because Brian Pillman did a similar thing, and they put it on Twitter. And it's just amazing that, you know, maybe that wasn't the intent, but again, just the little extractions of history or those classic moments that, you know, they're just pitted in there. I mean, are you going to get a 5-star match out of it? I mean, I don't think you look at a Chris Jericho match nowadays, even at 49 years old, or even back then when he was 30. I don't think you looked at Chris Jericho in terms of getting a 5-star match to do these dives and flying flips and stuff like that. It's the story and the psychology behind it, which Cody does so well and Jericho does so well. I think that was really well done. And ultimately, like you said, now Cody can no longer compete for the AEW championship. But it goes back to the beginning, Jeff, and we talked about before when Cody started kind of betting on himself and went on his own. And we talked about the Ring of Honor championship. Cody's the kind of guy right now. Maybe it'll change in the future. You know, maybe down the road they'll do a storyline where he relinquishes his vice presidency role of AEW,
something like that.
Now it seems like Cody's leaning more towards now the rival of MJF. The AEW championship is no longer in his future. But at the same time, it's like Cody's the kind of guy who doesn't need the title. He doesn't need the title to solidify himself. You know, maybe if you put Kenny Omega in that title picture, it's great because he's the face of it.
I can't wait to get to Kenny Omega.
But I think Cody right now is the kind of situation where he's in where, when he spoke about his father and the greats within this industry that were not only great wrestlers but also promoters and bookers or whatever you want to call it, he doesn't need to do that right now because he's kind of cemented, in my opinion, his legacy. He doesn't need to be a long reigning champion to pit his legacy of not only with AEW but in the world of professional wrestling. So interesting dynamics he at CS is going to go. So happy for MJF because we've seen him from the indie scenes here in the Northeast region of the United States to where he is now. And kind of similar, like I spoke to you about 2 weeks ago, right? With Cody, feels like we grew up with Cody. We saw him from a young boy into the man he is now. Now MJF is literally still in his 20s, very young, growing up and becoming that man that he's going to be. And it's been a joy for me watching him because he's one of those heels that he doesn't have to do much, but he does enough to get you so mad at him that he wants to jump over those rails or throw a water bottle at him. And to me, if you're doing that, you're doing your job right.
Yeah, totally. And again, like I said, that matchup told a story. The story was every week would build up, you know.
I was holding back tears, though, when Cody's mom was there.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I was holding back tears so much there.
Yeah, definitely, you know, it's got to be emotional.
She's got to be so proud of Cody.
Yeah, that was tremendous. Mm-hmm. Well done. But what I want to get to, and that to me should have gone on. Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to even say should have gone on last, but when you go to this matchup that we're going to talk about now, man, I'm telling you, this is a matchup that I kind of feel guilty that I enjoyed it, but to me, it was way too much. And I'll tell you this right now, Trendsetter, I miss the old Kenny Omega, because this Kenny Omega that we're seeing here in AEW, I don't know if it's him with this with the creativity of this, how he wants to do his character, but I am all about the New Japan Kenny Omega. I miss that Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega should be the star. I know Chris Jericho right now is the name brand, but Kenny Omega should be the guy, and it should be Cody, maybe Hangman behind him, and Pac should maybe be the second heel, and then, you know, go down the list. But Kenny Omega, to me, is very frustrating because this Kenny Omega, I don't like this Kenny Omega, man. And in all honesty, I miss the New Japan guy, the guy that would tell stories, the guy that give you an hour match that would get you in and suck you in with all that emotion of the storytelling and how his match with Okada, he could tell a different story in each match. I miss that Kenny Omega. I don't know what's going on, but I am not liking the direction of where Kenny Omega is going. He took the loss to Jon Moxley, and I got to say, man, that match
in a non-sanctioned match, though. So that doesn't count as a loss.
So it doesn't count. You're right. You're right. Lights out.
Which we'll talk about the win-loss records in a little bit after this, but
I just don't like this Kenny Omega. Yeah. I don't like the way he's being portrayed. And one thing, too, is, you know, this is very similar to the Ciampa-Gargano feud. But to me, that feud had so much more, it was more personal. That this feud between Moxley and Omega, what really was it about that they wanted to go and tear each other apart like they did? Where, like, in Gargano and Ciampa, to me, there was more. It was more personal, and they didn't have to go that far and do all those crazy spots.
And with that, I get your point, and I'm sure a lot of people have come up to me and told me the same thing about the Kenny Omega, John Moxley match. But let's look at it from this perspective, Jeff. You're saying something that I completely understand in terms of the fact that, oh, I want the Kenny Omega from New Japan Pro Wrestling. But here's the thing. This isn't New Japan Pro Wrestling. You don't have, and as much as the talent pool is, I feel, it's very good at AW. I wouldn't say it's the best talent pool out there, but I'm sure AW will disagree and say it's the best roster out there. I mean, you kind of have to say that. But it's not New Japan roster. Kenny can't have those types of matches with the John Moxley. He can't have those types of matches with a MJF, for example. He can't have those types of matches with
Pac. You can have it with Pac.
With Pac. He kind of had that with Pac at All Out. But if we try to break down this roster, go through every single person out there,
there's no
they're not
Naito.
They're not many people he can do an Okada with or a Tanahashi or a Naito. So I get your point, but here's the thing. He's in a different world. I think at this point right now in Kenny is we saw early stages of him going through this psychotic episode of what was going on and, you know, you hadn't seen nothing yet. Kind of diluted itself. Now, I don't think it's diluted itself because they're like, you know, let's just drop this. I think it's still in the inner workings right now because here's the thing. The frustration you're feeling right now, I'm sure a lot of fans are feeling that way too. And they're like, oh, we want the old Kenny back. Even the Young Bucks said it too to a point. We need the cleaner. And now Kenny's in this weird state where he's trying to figure out where he stands. Where's his place? I think ultimately it'll be fine. It's still early on. Let's calm down a little bit, guys, here. That yes, I feel the same frustration as you guys do. But let's look at this from this perspective too, right? Before he had his match with Chris Jericho at Wrestle Kingdom, everybody looked at Kenny Omega as just this great wrestler, right? This guy that ties these spots and these moves and move for move, spots for spot. Timing is amazing, all this stuff. But at the same time, let's be honest, as much as I would put Kenny up there as one of the greatest wrestlers out there, in terms of you're introducing him to a more general audience, you have to kind of reintroduce Kenny, unfortunately. I know for you and I, and I'm sure people listening to the crew, it's like, how could you reintroduce Kenny Omega? He's the greatest wrestler in the world. But not a lot of people know who he is, guys.
All right.
And you're reintroducing him.
I get
and
that.
So when you put him in a scenario now with John Moxley, this is a new side of Kenny Omega we've never seen before. You might not like it, but it's the ass-kicker side we've never seen of Kenny Omega. Is he willing to go to those lengths? And he is. Is he going to do it all the time? No. But I'm saying this, and we're seeing newer sides of Kenny, and I think all these are pitted in a particular reason because he's great at storytelling to see the end result, which we'll most likely see towards the end of the year of Kenny Omega.
All right. So then explain this to me, Trent. So I get your point. You're right. I can't expect the same Omega from New Japan, right?
Okay.
So, but explain this to me, though. The Ciampa-Gargano was very, very personal, that feud, right? Very personal, and it had a year build. So now here in something within 6 months from Memorial Day to whenever we are here right now in November, and wow, it's crazy we're in November. But to me, it hasn't been that personal enough that it has to go into a lights-out match, and it had to go that crazy where Gargano and Ciampa did get crazy, but they didn't have sugar glass on there. They didn't have semi-barbed wire there and cut themselves up. Yes, they did some crazy spots, and they pulled the, you know, they pulled the ring up, whatever like that, and they had the plain board and stuff, but kind of the same thing with Omega and Moxley, but they didn't have to go to that craziness that they did. So to me, it just is like in storyline wise, I'm like, Gargano and Ciampa was more personal. So to me, I just don't get fully why they had to go all out for this Moxley and Omega.
Are you more concerned, Jeff, with the storyline wise, or are you more in terms of talking to me about ring psychology? Was it necessary to do these spots to continue the story of whatever it is they're building between Kenny Omega and John Moxley? Because I think that's what a lot of people are annoyed, that you didn't have to take the barbed wire on the broom and slash it across his back. It was an unnecessary spot. It didn't mean anything type of thing. So in terms of ring psychology, it's different in terms of the storyline. The storyline that I took from those two was here was John Moxley, a WWE guy, coming to AEW.
Who came out on top, by the way.
Yeah. Well, he had to in a way, because here's the thing. Kenny Omega wins, what does that do for John Moxley?
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Because if Moxley wins, people can say, oh, it's a WWE guy, you know, beat an AEW guy. But if an AEW guy goes over, kind of diminishes his steam, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, as much as we are frustrated, and you might not be in agreement with me in this, but Kenny can afford to lose these matches right now currently because you know what? He's not being pitted as one of the top guys yet.
Yeah.
Once and that can change in a heartbeat, we'll see the Kenny Omega that we've been dying to see for the longest time since AEW started. But right now, it's about building these stars. Well, I think the Young Bucks aren't champions right now. They lost to Private Party because, you know, you need to build these stars. If the Young Bucks win it, okay, we've seen this. You know, if Cody wins it, you know, we know certain colleagues that are just complaining, oh, well, he's the owner. He's always going to win. Yeah. Well, no, he lost it. You know, you have to build these new stars because if Cody becomes a champion, if the Young Bucks are champion, if Kenny's champion, it's like, okay, so these guys developed the company just so they could be at the top stars of their own company.
Yeah, that I agree with. But so, I just think that, you know, that's got to be it. To me, when you have a match like that, that's the culmination of a feud.
I don't think so, you know, because this is the fact that Kenny stepped into John Moxley's world. Because John Moxley was always doing this way before WWE. Mm-hmm. Now I think it's time for it to happen again, but this time John Moxley stepped in the world of wrestling, which is what Kenny Omega does better. And I don't think this is the last time we've seen the two of them. All of a sudden, it's going to be a wrestling match, and it's going to be 1-1, and then we'll get the third one later on down the road. So
but all in all, though, AEW, that show is successful. It got people talking.
Yes. Even if you didn't like the Kenny John Moxley, it had you talking about it.
Yeah.
So it had people talking about it. You know, traditionalists are going to be upset with it. New people are going to be like, wow, this is crazy. But it gets you talking about it. And when we see it again, most likely not, hopefully not, that type of match. But again, it gets people talking about it.
Yeah, because then you're going to have the reputation that's kind of, you know. Yeah,
this isn't ECW and stuff like that. I get it.
It doesn't set back the company years. I don't think it does, okay? No. There's some people saying that.
People were complaining about the chair shot over Cody's head.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how could you do that? But it got people talking about it. We'll never see a chair shot like that, ever again. But they did it once, and that's all they needed to do.
So all in all, I would say it was a really good show.
Would you say home run here or no?
I would say a triple.
A triple?
Yeah, I would say a triple. But I mean, really, really great job. I mean, it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, man, I got to sit through all these matches. No, it's entertaining. And again,
did it exceed your expectations as a fan? Because when we looked at this card, we're like, wow, I really want to see this.
Yes, it did.
Okay, and that's all you could ask for,
the tag team match between the Bucks and Santana Ortiz was really good.
People were complaining about that one, too. They're saying, the time was kind of off, and it was kind of sloppy.
We got to see them on the cruise, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't know if footage will ever be released of that. But that was a great matchup.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little excited because I was coming off of that. And it was good, man. It was good. Like, listen, we're the kind of guys that are not going to blow smoke up people's fannies. We're going to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We could sit here and say, oh, good match, good match, good match. I mean, I just told you my point of view on the Moxley and Omega, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then you came back with me, and we're like, okay. So, you know, we're not here going to throw, you know, rice and throw a party for every match. That's if we don't like it, we don't like it. But I think it did a good job. It was entertaining. Sure beats the hell to watch a Monday Night Raw or SmackDown the last couple of weeks, which honestly I haven't watched Raw. I haven't watched SmackDown the last couple of weeks, too. And, you know, you could say, shame on you. Aren't you covering wrestling? But, you know, I'll cover, what I think is important. And, you know, everyone talking about the Rusev and Lana and Bobby Lashley angle, people like it. People shit on it. People don't agree with it. People have their thoughts on it. I just don't want to watch it because I think you have very talented people,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Rusev who's collaborating with everybody and he's got his hand in it, and Lana too, and Lashley, whatever, you know, and now a report saying that Lana's uncomfortable, whatever. It just, you should not put these talented people in this kind of angle. You know, Rusev should be crushing. Bobby Lashley should be fighting Brock Lesnar down the road. And Lana should be, either escorting Rusev or having a prominent role, you know, somewhere. But to me, this is, again, a waste of three talents. And that's all it's going to be. And that's their main thing. Because other than that, you see the ratings are going down for Raw. SmackDown, the ratings are eh. I mean, I enjoyed seeing Walter against Seth Rollins. But other than that, I can't get into Raw SmackDown trends there.
There seems to be a common pattern that I've noticed with Raw and SmackDown is that, you know, with these scenarios, and especially now, the interesting part is, as we're building up towards Survivor Series, Jeff, you have the mere fact that, you know, you have SmackDown superstars on Raw and SmackDown. So in a way, it's great because now SmackDown superstars are being, you know, held more in high regard and are being more exposed on television, especially on Raw and SmackDown. So people are like, who are these guys? I got to tune into NXT. Great. But I don't think in terms of storyline-based, we were talking about before where, you know, you even talked about the whole Omega Moxley thing. What was the reason behind it? Well, there's a simplistic reason behind it. And it's something that, you know, if you were paying attention, you're like, okay, well, I kind of get why this is going on. With Raw and SmackDown, with a lot of the rivalries that are going on right now, a lot of the matches that are being pitted, I feel they're being more pitted right now, especially the NXT superstars. You were just talking about Walter and Seth. It was cool to see that, right? Yeah. What was the meaning behind that? What's the long term? Is it going to be just because we want these to see these two in the ring for the first time ever? Cool, and that's it? Can we put, like, can we plant little seeds that, oh, maybe there's a possibility we could see Seth Rollins not go to NXT and could be there consistently? Because right now, there's currently nothing for him on Raw because, you know, they're trying to position somebody else in. It doesn't mean Seth loses his spot, but now we see him in a different environment. So, sorry, in a different environment. I'm speaking too fast here. But, that's the problem I feel with Raw SmackDown. They're not implementing stories where the investment they have with the whole Lana, Rusev, Bobby Lashley angle is as difficult as it is to watch. And I'm not difficult from the storyline standpoint of, my God, he's kissing another man's wife. It's just, to me, it's just bad. It's like, it's not fun. It's like, all right, it's kind of cool and interesting, but it's like, it's not good. And we've seen storylines like before, like with love triangles and things like that. It's whatever. We've seen it before. They're not. They're not investing on other people.
You gotta have a quick wrap up to this storyline because it gets a lot of people talking.
Or more meat on the bone. There's nothing on the bone right now. It's the same thing over and over again. And ultimately, with the other storylines, there. I mean, like last Raw, we saw, you know, they're in England to his tape. We saw the OC against Randy Orton, Ricochet, and that newcomer that Humberto is his name.
Humberto Carrillo.
Humberto Carrillo. He gets thrown over AJ Styles.
And he's got heel. To me, he's got a heel kind of aristocratic look, like a Del Rio.
Uh-huh.
To me, he's got that baby face too, where he can be like a Sammy Guevara. He can be a heel. To me, he's a heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get you. But people are talking about how this could be the new up-and-coming Hispanic star. Well, you have Andrade right there. Yeah. Andrade's proven time and time again. And the only reason he's being held back is because he doesn't speak, perfect English? Brock Lesnar speaks English, and he needs Paul Heyman as his right-hand man. I don't understand this.
Yeah.
Use Selena Vega. Let her be the mouthpiece for Andrade. This is the frustration. They're not pitting the same commitment they are with storylines that were just talked about with Rusev, Lana, and Bobby Lashley into the storylines of things we want to see. What's going on with Finn Balor? What's going on with the OC? What's going on now with Randy Orton? And I know how you feel about Randy Orton, but again, you know, he's just moving around, going back to babyface, going back to heel. Like, it loses its glory, and it's hard for a fan like myself to get invested in. So that's the frustration I get sometimes, or mostly now all the time, when it comes to Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, plus you're focusing on Brock against Rey, and what's the outcome to that? If Brock isn't going to show up to your show after Survivor Series, are you going to put the strap on Rey? Is that a possibility? That'd be kind of crazy, and to me, hard to believe if Rey walks out of Survivor Series as the new WWE champion. That would just be, for me, tough to believe. I don't know what will happen. We'll find out in a couple of weeks at Survivor Series, but Trendsetter, also, I want to talk about John Cena, because he made some interesting comments. And, you know, a return might be possible sooner than later. But before we do that, I want to talk about Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. Check out the entire winter fashion line. Oh, man, I can't believe it's winter already, Trendsetter.
Well, technically it's fall, but it feels like winter.
Including brand new long sleeve shirts and hoodies. You got to go to collarandelbowbrand.com. Save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code High Spot Podcast, all in caps.
Yes, guys, save yourself 10% and get some great apparel which you can wear anywhere. It doesn't have to be at wrestling events. You can wear it no matter where you go. It is that fashionable. It looks that good. And hey, if the trendsetter's saying to buy it, you should buy it. I mean, if the trendsetter's endorsing it, just go to Collar X Elbow and say, take my money, because I'm saying yes, guys. Go and get it. Get yourself 10% off and get yourself some great apparel.
So John Cena mentioned in an interview that he misses the WWE. He's realized it's a big part of his life. And yes, he's doing movies and making tons of money. He's going to be the next Fast and Furious. He's got a current movie coming out now. But he misses the WWE. And he says that WrestleMania, he won't miss anytime soon. So here's a guy that definitely misses the WWE, and I believe him. And I've had a conversation on and off talking about whether wrestling misses John Cena or whether WWE misses John Cena more. I think that WWE misses John Cena. I think that he kind of had that Roman Reigns thing, whether you hated or loved him, but you did tune in to watch him. And
I don't think people tuned in to watch Roman Reigns. With Cena, yes, with I agree Cena. With you.
So do you think that WWE really misses John Cena, or do you think the world of professional wrestling misses John Cena? I think WWE misses John Cena a lot.
I think they both go hand in hand, as my voice got really high when I answered that question. Yeah, both miss each other, but life goes on.
Do you miss John Cena?
Honestly, yeah, I think... No, do I miss him? No, I don't miss John Cena. But I understand where he's coming from, because this is something he's been passionate about and loves, but there's no doubt The Rock misses it. There's no doubt Stone Cold Steve Austin misses being behind those lights and hearing that glass shatter, but he's learned there is life outside of wrestling, and I'm sure John has learned that too. But again, the heart still tugs, but John has gone out on record constantly talking about, it's a young man's game right now. He's getting older as the days go by, and if he wants to do that special Undertaker thing where he shows up for one WrestleMania, he's going to start putting guys over right now, and most likely that's going to be his role if he does go back and just do WrestleManias, for example, or do short appearances. But I think it's always going to be there, the option that he can always go back and the door is open for him, but I don't think... Yeah, they miss each other, but neither one of them at this stage in their careers for John Cena and where WWE is going, neither one need each other, because you've moved on from John Cena now. Now it was supposed to be Roman Reigns. Now they've tried to move on to Seth Rollins. There's no doubt in my mind they're going to eventually go back to Roman Reigns, because that's the investment they put into him. They're going to go back to him, but it's more of like, let's have the fans hate somebody else first, and then they'll be happy that Roman Reigns is back. I don't think it's going to work. But, I think it just goes through its stages. We thought when Shawn Michaels was gone, what's going to happen? The Austin era started. Whether you're an Austin fan or not, it happened. With that, you had the John Cena era. They all go through their times. And it's funny because countless times, how many times do people want Shawn Michaels in the ring?
Yeah.
He's already been in the ring, guys. He's a bald-headed guy. He's not the same. He's not the same man he once was.
Plain and simple, he's a bald-headed guy.
People asking, dude, not too long ago, there's an interview.
I've still not seen that match, by the way.
Parts of it. He looked all right, but again, you could tell that Father Time has taken something from him too. And he even said he was kind of embarrassed by the match. He wasn't happy with it. So there's no doubt we're never going to see him in the ring again. And that's a good thing. Triple H is on on the outside looking in now. Who knows how many more he has left in him. I was going to tell you before, like a couple weeks ago, Stone Cold, when he was promoting a show on the USA Network, was talking about, people were interviewing, saying, do you have one more left in you? Do you have one more left in you? And he said, physically right now, at 50, yes, he could have one more match. But like, why are we so desperate to have him come back? And the same thing is going to fall on John Cena. It's like, yes, he can still go. He looks great. But at this point, what's the purpose of bringing – from a business standpoint, yes, I understand. If you bring John Cena back, it's going to create buzz. People are going to watch it.
He's not going to say no.
But yes, but what's the long-term goal for a guy like John Cena?
To put the next guy over.
That's got to be it. If it's to win a title or to do the same schedule, he's not going to be a full-timer anymore. Where do you put him in? Who do you work him with to put people, the next caliber of superstars, in the right position they need to be in to give back to the business, like The Rock gave back when he came back and put John Cena over? Didn't work, but he put him over because John Cena was already over anyway with the fans. So it depends on what position they want to put John Cena in, basically. But I think to answer your question, as long-winded as I was, yes, they miss each other.
I didn't know what the question was.
You said, does the pro wrestling business miss John Cena?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they do. But I said they don't need him, though.
Okay. I think that WWE needs him more than the pro wrestling business does.
Now with the ratings, yeah, they need John Cena.
I think that John Cena, even though you hated him, if you want to see him lose, you'd still watch him.
Oh, let me get on the record. I despise John Cena, the character.
Yeah.
But my God, do I respect John Cena, the man.
Oh, yeah, man. Anyone that busts their ass and like does what he does, his schedule, just like The Rock. The Rock never sleeps, right?
No.
I respect the hell out of the man, but again, though, I want to see him lose. And, like, say what you want about John Cena. He does now and then surprise you with some great matches. Like, the AJ Styles match with John Cena at SummerSlam, that was a great match.
Mm-hmm.
He has the ability to, you know, the five moves of doom or something like that, that they call him.
Depends on the dance partner.
Yeah. So, but to me, yes, WWE misses John Cena. And, but though, I will say this, though. The reason why John Cena were to return, I don't want to see him take on Randy Orton at WrestleMania. That match, you can probably put me to sleep. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can put me to sleep around that matchup. I'm not going to go and be excited about one of the most overrated feuds in WWE history because...
We've seen it before.
You talk about dance partners. To me, those guys had two left feet.
I agree with you. We've seen it before. They've been on countless times competing against each other for championships and, in my opinion, have never delivered. So what makes you think at this stage in their careers they would deliver now? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. And again, though, you know, one last thing. Shame on WWE for having the New Day become the champions again, because I wouldn't mind seeing the Revival.
Business move.
The Viking Raiders. And with Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, I wouldn't have minded that. But now we're going to get the New Day in there instead of the Revival. You can tell the Revival are halfway out the door. They're just going to bite their lip, wait till after WrestleMania, mm-hmm. and then go to AEW. Because they have no... Basically, you have other options. Basically, you're not signing with us, so we're going to take the titles away from you. You're not going to have a high-profile match here at Survivor Series. And, you know, if you do, great, sign with us. We'll push you again. We'll put the titles on you. But they don't need these titles. They want to go wrestle. And they want to go to the best tag team division. And the best tag team division right now is arguably AEW.
Yeah, but again, like I said, there's so many more options to go to in terms of, you know, just, you know, creating your own path, basically. When you see guys like the Revival, one thing, you know, what was brought to my attention, and you talked about it as well, as they were really hot in NXT, is that they remind you of old school tag teams like the Brain Busters. You know, that was something I thought of initially with Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. Not Tessa, guys. Tully Blanchard. And, they just gave you that feeling of what old school wrestling for us, at least back in the 90s, were. And, yeah, if they were to go to AEW, it'd be great. If they went to, you know, Ring of Honor, that'd be a huge signing for Ring of Honor. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Impact, you know, MLW. No matter where it is nowadays, I just think they want to be consistent on competing and going out there because, let's be honest, Jeff, and not in the world of a professional wrestler or, in this case, a sports entertainer, but also an athlete. Your time as an athlete is very limited, and, you know, some people like sitting on the sidelines and going back to catering and enjoying the cake and stuff like that, and it's great, collecting a paycheck. Hey, more power to you if that's what you want to do, but these guys want to perform. They want to go out there. They want to have five-star matches. They want to compete against the best of the best right now, and quite honestly, the best of the best in terms of tag team are not in the WWE right now. So it would make sense for them to go elsewhere right now and just enjoy their careers for as long as they last. Because as we know, in the blink of an eye, it could be over like that.
So guys, I want you to follow us on all our social media, High Spot Podcast, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, highspotpodcast.com. I want you to go on YouTube to like and subscribe our YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast. But today we talked about the first award that we've opened up for the polls, and that is the 2019 Male Wrestler of the Year. And, you know, we talked about Chris Jericho, but it is open, you guys. If you guys have any suggestions, who it is, whatever like that, we'll take it. It will be open until December 15th. We will open it up next week to vote. So we're going to plant the seed in, and we think Chris Jericho is the early front runner. And
La Champion.
Next week, we'll open up the second category to the awards. I think we'll have about like 8 or 9 awards this year. You mentioned Ring of Honor before. Want to congratulate Dan Moff, who signed with Ring of Honor, exclusive.
Bayonne Badass, man.
The Bayonne Badass, well-deserved. 14 years since the last time he went to Ring of Honor. Signed his first ever wrestling contract. That's hard to believe. Every time we see him, we're like, why isn't he signed anywhere, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, well-deserved, and he'll be in Ring of Honor for the foreseeable future. If you want to say goodbye and pay your tribute and respect, his final show is tomorrow night at WrestlePro. He will take on Sean Donovan, right? Sean Donovan in his final match.
WrestlePro. Well, it's tonight. It's Friday, or is it Saturday?
I believe it's Saturday.
Okay.
Or Friday. I think it's Saturday.
Yeah, look it up, guys.
Yeah. There you go. Google it. So, yeah.
Huge congratulations goes out to Dan Moth. And He wants
the
to end
Rahway
it.
The Rec Center.
Yeah, he wants to end it where he kind of
the house he helped build.
Yeah, exactly. Taking the words right out of my mouth. And who says you don't interrupt me, Jeff?
Whoever says
that Jeff doesn't interrupt me?
I was good up until the end. And I'm doing it less and less.
That's victory for yourself. Congratulations to you, Jeff.
Yeah. And again, WrestleMania tickets go on sale today. Make sure you get those tickets.
Hey, Jeff, what are we doing talking? Should we be getting those tickets right now?
We should be.
You're wasting time.
Yeah, I will close this up and wrap it up ASAP so we can get those tickets. And condolences goes out to Matthew Travis. We never saw him wrestle. And very prominent in the New York City area. We didn't start going to New York City events till recently. So, our condolences, man. And, you know, when you hear the accident, it's basically a biking accident. And you don't realize in the city how much of these accidents can happen when you're on a bike. You're kind of like susceptible.
Well, you and I are in the city a lot, so we do know how it could be an issue and it doesn't happen that often.
Hit and run, too, which is sad. So, you know, they're going to have a tribute show for him, House of Glory will. And please go attend that. A lot of people, you know, a lot of wrestlers, outpouring on social media. I believe it's November the 16th. They're going to have a show for him, a tribute to Matthew Travis. So our condolences go out to him, man.
And the more details we get, guys, we'll be posting
25 years old.
On our Twitter.
Next week we'll be back here with you guys, a special guest. Hopefully, we'll join us, and then we will hype up the lead up to Survivor Series, talk some AEW, again, Raw and SmackDown. Whatever you guys want to talk about, I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendsetter. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. Another great show, Trendsetter. Another great show. You did a great job last week. I didn't want to lose my job, so I had to come back this week because you did a tremendous job with the Future Legend. Mm-hmm. And I hope you enjoyed that episode. And the Future Legend, we're waiting on the free stuff, free merch.
Jeff is. Yeah. But, like I said, definitely a great show last week. Great show this week, guys. I mean, thank you so much, the members of the crew who are listening to the High Spot Podcast. Don't forget, guys, you follow us on all our social media, High Spot Podcast, all one word, on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you also check out our shenanigans on highspotpodcast.com. We are presented to you by bodyslam.net. Don't forget to check the YouTube channel, like Jeff mentioned before, with all our stuff.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe, guys. Also, check us out on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating. Leave a review, guys. It helps us out when you leave a review. Tell us you love it, because we know you do. Anything else would just not make any sense, because we know it's not the truth. But, guys, yeah, definitely show us support. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com. If you want to be a member and part of the crew,
yes.
Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/HighSpotPodcast. Get a shirt. Be a part of the crew. Represent. Go take a picture. Post it on Instagram. Post it on Twitter. We will retweet it as we're trying to go nationwide here in the United States for you guys, because we got
nationwide,
we know.
Nationwide, then worldwide, then universe-wide, but we're still trying to get the nationwide. So, guys, really, we appreciate your support. Join the crew. It's a great looking freaking shirt too. I mean, it's awesome. It's got this muscular guy holding up a championship belt, and you got the headphones and all that good stuff. So come on, buy that shirt. Charcoal gray. Go get that shirt. Support the crew. Be a part of the crew. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/highspotpodcast.
And for the Scoundrel Jeff Warren, I'm the Trendsetter Brian Berger. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. You have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. So, guys, until next week, we will meet again. Looking forward to it so much. Like I said, every single day now, there's something going on. So, there'll definitely be something new to talk about, because, you know, this is a labor of love, but we do this for one reason, guys. And you haven't learned it since episode one to this point on. Unfortunately, I don't think you'll ever learn it. But we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew.
And we'll leave you with this. Enjoy, guys.
So I think it's time that we start doing some of our own right here on WWE Backstage. You guys in?
Okay. Yeah, well,
all right.
Yeah, what are we doing?
In three, surprise, two, one. Whoa! No way! Is this a rib? Is this a rib?
Yes. Well, it's as simple as this. Just when they think they got the answers,
I change the culture.
Ah!
I'll see you here next week.
Yeah!